When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was nearer. For God thought, if the people face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people by the roundabout way of the wilderness toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of the land of Egypt, prepared for battle. And Moses took with him the bones of Joseph, who had required the solemn oath of the Israelites, saying, God will surely take notice of you, and then you must carry my bones with you from here. They set out from Succoth and camped at Etham on the edge of the wilderness. The Lord went in front of them in a pillar of cloud by day to lead them along the way, and a pillar of fire by night to give them light so they might travel by day and by night. Neither the pillar of cloud nor the pillar of fire left its place in front of the people. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O God of cloud and fire, we surrender all to you, that you might continue to guide us in the way of mercy, love, and justice. For it is in your name we pray. Amen. In downtown Detroit, there's a monument overlooking the Detroit River, commemorating the Underground Railroad. Many slaves who were running away used Detroit as a pathway, and the Underground Railroad went through there because of its proximity to Canada. Windsor's just over the Detroit River. The sculpture is called the Gateway to Freedom. And it depicts six runaway slaves, including a couple children and a mother who's holding a baby. One of the men is pointing over the water toward Windsor, saying, "Over there, freedom awaits." We might imagine Moses and the Israelites doing the same thing. They're camped out by the Red Sea, overlooking the waters. And we might imagine one of them pointing, over there, into the wilderness, through the wilderness, is the promised land where there's freedom. So let's start with the good news. God is about freeing us. God is a God of salvation, which means, according to the Old Testament, and I would argue the New, it means liberation. When God dreamed about human partners who could help make the world a more just and loving place, God created you. When God imagined who would be wildly free enough to shine a light in a dark time, God imagined you. People who carry the beams of love to build up a new structure in society for everybody. People who would be free from systemic chains, where the pharaohs no longer get to call the shots. When God frees us, it's not only this spiritual layer, it's body, mind, spirit, wholeness, all of us, not only on a personal level, but on a societal level as well. God is about freeing God's people. Is that not good news to start Lent? There are 15 million people in our nation who don't have access to clean water. God cares about that. Of the people who do have health care, 73% of them can't afford to use it. God cares about that. We heard the stunning news clips. Oh, that breaks my heart. God cares about that. Did you hear about the judge in Pennsylvania who collected $1 million in bribes from developers of juvenile detention centers? He took their cash, and in exchange, he sentenced teenagers just to pad his own wallets. They call it trading kids for cash. It's a thing. God cares about that. Cares about setting us free, body, mind, and spirit, to be a people who take the freedom that God gives and use it to make this world a more loving, just place. It's good news. Except, of course, when we point out towards freedom's promise, you know what we have to go through to get there. What do we have to go through to get there? Some suffering. What else? I like hearing you all talk sometimes, too. We have our own stuff and disagreements. It's wilderness. Before we get to that promised place, there is a wilderness involved. It's not the place most of us would choose to go to voluntarily, is it? There's no cozy bed and breakfasts. It's not a hot spot for tourism. It's a place of challenge. It's a chore. In the wilderness, we come face to face with the things that we've spent a lot of energy trying to avoid. Who does that on their own? So God somehow intervenes and guides the people into there. And once the Israelites start going through, we come into another theological problem. In the story, God keeps the people there for how long? 40 years. Now, scholars will tell you it's not an absolute number. Scholars don't ever allow us to have that much fun. 40 years is a long time. Why does it take so long? You know, the way the crow flies, the journey from Egypt to Gaza is 250 miles. That's a road trip to Asheville and back. It's a half-day journey to Charleston, West Virginia. On foot, it would take the Israelites about 13 days. 13 days. That sounds like enough wilderness to me. If you've ever camped out for 13 days, you would. I have not. takes 40 years. Have you seen the meme where Moses has a GPS on his phone, and the voice on his phone says, "You will arrive at your destination in 40 years." Well, Moses looks at his phone quizzically, and he thinks to himself, "Now that can't be right. It can't be right. Do the math. How many left turns consistently does one have to take to be traveling for 40 years? The only thing to look forward to in the wilderness is being out of the wilderness. And if freedom's path is through the wilderness, why would God keep God's people wandering in circles for so stinking long? So I wonder. Wonder if the journey takes as long as it does because we learn in the wilderness. We learn how to depend on God. It hurts me to say that. It's hard to do. You know, the writers of the Bible, they refer back to the wilderness experience almost 300 times. 300 times. That's hearing grandma tell the same story a lot of times. 300. Why? Because that story is where they became a people with a new identity, where they learned who they really were and who they really belonged to. I'm going to be 41 years old in 2 weeks. It's taken me about 40 years. It'll probably take me about 40 more. I once sat with a woman named Veronica. Veronica was very, very poor. And she barely had enough in her wallet to buy food. She had kids, and so she prioritized her bill like most people in a perpetual state of crisis, as they have to do. Some month she paid the water, others she paid the electricity. Most of the time she couldn't pay either because she needed gas to get to the job. But whenever you talk to Veronica, she'd always say the same thing. She'd say, "God is good. God is faithful." Have you ever heard somebody say that who is poor? One day, after hearing about how she'd lost her job because she ran out of gas, she would say again, "God is good, God is faithful." I said, "How could you say that? God is good and God is faithful after all that you've been through." She said, "Honey, listen. When the car broke down a couple months ago, a check arrived in the mail for $1,000. When I wasn't sure how to pay for groceries one Christmas, some stranger at the store handed me a ham and a $50 gift card. The other day when I went through drive-thru at Wendy's, I left my purse at home, and as I pulled up to the window to explain, the cashier said the car in front of me paid for my meal. honey, I've been in this place so long. Eventually, you just stop worrying about it and just learn to start trusting God. I'm sure how long it would take for me to have that kind of faith. Maybe 40 years. Maybe more. But I bet if we were to share a story about a time in our lives when we felt God's presence guiding us, that pillar of cloud by day and fire by night, why, I bet it would be a story from the wilderness. Time when we lost our way. We were scared. Maybe a moment when we had questions about where life was headed. And it's in these stories where we find our faith. It's why our Bibles recall that wilderness event almost 300 times. Because it's when we learn to be a people who learn to depend on God. So as we look over that landscape of Lent, how are we going to trust? Maybe some of us will do what we always do. We give up a vice. Or we take on something healthy. Or maybe it's just one of those liturgical things the church does that we just don't need to pay attention to anymore. But I wonder if something we can do is start telling that story about that day in the wilderness. The stories of the trials, the stories of the trust, the stories of our formation. God needs wilderness people who are set free to free others so people like Veronica can eat and have a life. So when she carries the bones of her ancestors, the legacy in life, she carries them to the promised land where her children and grandchildren will have the same life as the rest of us. I think that's worth trying to travel through. Don't you? No matter how many steps it takes. No matter how many years.